This morning, if you'd like to follow along as we read God's Word together, we're turning back to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This is our third Sunday in chapter 40. As you turn, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 40. We'll look at verses 27 to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 27. Hear the word of the Lord. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that you'd give us grace to receive your truth and faith and love and strength to follow on the path that you have set before us in your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Isaiah 40 was written for tired Christians, tired saints. He says in verse 29, the faint. End of verse 29, him who has no might. Verse 30, even youths will faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. And there are just moments in the Christian life where even faithful believers get tired. There are seasons when you might just not feel as close to the Lord or not feel like your prayers are being heard. In fact, he says in verse 27, that's what's on the mind of Israel. They're asking questions like, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God. That's their complaint. That the burdens of life have just piled up to the point that they wonder if God even notices. They wonder if God even hears. They wonder if God has just forgotten them altogether. And they look at their difficulties in life and their sufferings in life, and they come to this conclusion, well, God must be silent. And I would have to say, if all of us are honest, truly honest, many of us have stood in that same place, and I bet there are people here this morning that feel like they're in that same place. I think it's very typical to begin the Christian life at whatever point you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have. You become a Christian at some point, and the Christian life at the beginning is full of great joy and confidence and thanksgiving and blessings, but it's not always just highs. It's just not. And problems multiply, and you feel your resolve starting to weaken, and you can relate to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:12, feeble arms or drooping hands and weak knees. That's who Isaiah is writing to, especially in chapter 40. And what is God's answer here? What is the answer that Isaiah is offering as an antidote to spiritual discouragement? Well, I'll tell you what he doesn't do that I think is very notable. He doesn't begin by magnifying the circumstances of life. I think we do a pretty good job of that on our own. What he does do is magnifies God. I think a lot of times our spiritual discouragement begins with wrong thoughts about God. I ran into a quote recently. Martin Luther once said to Erasmus, your thoughts of God are just too human. And I think that's exactly Isaiah's concern here, that the discouraged believer, I think our tendency is when we get spiritually discouraged or just discouraged by the pressures of life, we begin measuring God by human weakness and running him through a filter that we create, and we forget his divine majesty. But look what Isaiah asks in verse 25. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One. In other words, God's not like us. We think of him as being like us, but he's not like us. And I think the problem is not merely just weariness and a lack of strength and fainting and exhaustion. I think the deeper problem is that our view of God shrinks. Our view of God shrinks. Trials in life just have a way of turning our eyes downward, turning our eyes inward, turning our eyes toward ourselves. We tend to be very good as human beings at just staring endlessly at our fears and our losses and our frustrations. And you can do that to the point that you just lose sight of the greatness of God. I have to remind myself regularly that I can hear 99 compliments and then one negative comment. And that one negative comment is where this little brain will hang out for a long time. And I think that's just human nature. And what I see Isaiah doing here is reminding us, don't lose sight of the greatness of God. Lift your eyes heavenward. Lift your eyes back toward God again. I think one thing we do when we focus so much on our own problems and discouragements is we forget that God is everlasting. So the complaint is voiced in verse 27. Then look what he says in verse 28. Have you not known, Christian? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Don't let those phrases just slip by as just religious talk. That is an amazing statement. When you think God has forgotten you, have you not known, have you not heard? Yes, you've heard it because you come to church regularly. You have heard it. You do know it. You and I just need to be reminded of it. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. We are changing creatures. Our emotions fluctuate all the time. Our strength fades. Our circumstances rise and fall like the waves of the ocean. But God is everlasting. Here's an encouraging thought. God never panics. God never panics. He doesn't age. He doesn't suffer from drooping hands or weak knees, as the writer of Hebrews warns us of in Hebrews 12. Nothing surprises him. This is an interesting thought about God, too. Things occur to us. Things happen to us. Do you know nothing ever occurs to God? Nothing ever happens to God. He happens to things. Nothing happens to him. He's everlasting, Isaiah says. His love is everlasting. His covenant is everlasting. His faithfulness is everlasting. His word is everlasting. His promises are everlasting. Sometimes we look at our problems in life and they seem so large that we begin to think that somehow this must be threatening the purposes of God himself. I think that's exactly what they're saying in verse 27. But Isaiah is reminding us that the God who created the ends of the earth, verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth is not overwhelmed by what overwhelms us. Our emotions can change by the hour, minute, or second. God doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We tend to forget that God is everlasting and unchanging. I think another thing we tend to forget is that he's also majestic and gentle. That's a wonderful thing about God. He is both majestic and gentle. Look at the end of verse 28. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He does not faint or grow weary. So this is chapter 40 is a word to Christians, young and old, who do faint and grow weary. And he's saying, when you are fainting and you are growing weary, just remind yourself that God doesn't. He doesn't grow faint. He doesn't grow weary. His strength is never depleted. We get weary constantly. That's why the words of Jesus are just so precious when you come to the Gospels. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I love what he doesn't say after that. He does not say, look at my raw power and look how strong I am. We need God to be strong. We need God. We need God's raw power at times, of course. That's an important thing about his majestic character. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, I'm gentle and low in heart. The same Christ who upholds the galaxies, the same Christ who is the creator of the ends of the earth, says, I'm also gentle and I'm low in heart. And he's told us that before too. Look back at verse 11 in chapter 40. This God who is the creator of the ends of the earth, this majestic God, is also gentle. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Our world, I think, admires self-sufficiency. Our world admires power and strength. But friends, there are times in life when people are weary and weak and exhausted, and they're not looking for a tyrant king. There's a place for a tyrant king, a benevolent tyrant king. But when you're weary and exhausted, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for refuge. And Isaiah is telling us Christ provides that gentle refuge. He is both majestic and he's gentle. We tend to forget that. Another thing I think we forget about, when we're focused inward, we're focused on our problems and our weaknesses and our frustrations. So Israel's complaining here that God has forgotten them. My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by God. Look how he answers this. Look at the end of verse 28. He doesn't grow faint, doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. In other words, God knows. You think he has forgotten you. You think he's disregarded you. But the truth is, his understanding is unsearchable. His understanding, his knowledge is so vast. He knows the burdens that you can't explain to anyone else. I hope y'all have heard me pray before from this pulpit, and I think this is a very important, that the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. That's also another one of those little phrases that you can kind of skip over as just more religious speak, but that is very profound. Because Christians who are weak and are fainting and are weary, sometimes it's hard to even find the vocabulary to explain that. And that can lead you to think that God has forgotten, or God is not concerned, or God has disregarded you. But Isaiah is very quick to remind us, he knows the fears that you carry. He knows the fears that wake you up at night. He knows the griefs and the sadnesses that are hidden behind the plastic smile. He knows what's going on in your brain better than you do. And keep in mind, when Isaiah is preaching these words, Jerusalem is standing under this terrifying threat from the most powerful empire in the world, Assyria. Of course they're scared. So King Sennacherib is knocking at the door. It's not a surprise that they thought they were abandoned. And Isaiah says, remind yourself, God's not absent. He's not unaware. Even in the darkest hour of life, he is governing. He's still on his throne. He knows what he's doing. Let me put it this way, and I hope you'll hear this clearly. The God who created the ends of the earth, the God who governed Jerusalem's crisis against the strongest empire in the world 2,700 years ago, he governs your crises as well. He does. We're often tempted to think, I think, that God is so big, too busy ruling the universe, that he doesn't care about my tiny concerns. But Scripture affirms just the opposite of that. And again, we come to the New Testament. And we're told that Jesus Christ numbers the hairs on your head. That not even a sparrow falls apart from his will. He's intimately concerned with the smallest details of every life in here. He knows all about us. His understanding is unsearchable. I think another thing we forget, when we're weary, when we're feeling faint, when we're feeling discouraged, I think we forget a lot of times that we're pilgrims. I think part of Israel's discouragement, and I think this is as true for us today as it was 2,700 years ago, I think part of Israel's discouragement came from believing that their life should be easier than it was. And I run into that kind of thinking all the time too. This notion that if you repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that life is going to get easier. I read an account not too long ago about Elizabeth Elliot, and she described speaking to a woman who was suffering from a progressive illness, and it was an illness that was going to eventually leave her paralyzed. And that woman was angry. That woman was angry, having these exact same thoughts. Has God disregarded me? It's not fair, she said to Miss Elliot. And Elizabeth gently reminded her that the cross of Jesus Christ forever destroys this notion that God's love excludes suffering. The Son of God himself was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Weapon of execution. And follow me. We're pilgrims. We're not settlers. This is not our home. This world is not our final home. I think part of Christian maturity is learning the difference between our rights and our calling. Look at the complaint again, verse 27. Look at the complaint. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded. Let me encourage us all to be very careful as sinners who deserve God's wrath before we start throwing around this notion of my rights. My rights. Our calling is not a right. Our calling is to be obedient and faithful to Christ. And here's just a maxim of the Christian life. I think this is just woven into the created order. Faith, more often than not, grows strongest in the wilderness. Faith, more often than not, sanctification, more often than not, occurs through the hard times, the difficulties, when life does not seem to make sense at the moment, and all we have left to do is cling to God and his promises, because we don't have anything else to fall back on. That is a time in life, I think, where we make the most spiritual progression, not falling back on my rights. Well, those are good things to be reminded of. God is everlasting. God is majestic and gentle. God knows all about us. His understanding is unsearchable. We are pilgrims. We're not settlers. This isn't our final home. But then Isaiah closes with what I think is one of the most precious promises in the entire Bible. If you write in your Bible or highlight, make sure you've got this one marked. Starting in verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah gives weary believers this promise. If you wait on the Lord, if you wait on the Lord, he will renew you in his perfect timing. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, it's not just passive resignation. It's not just saying, well, this is the way it is, and I just have to live with it. It's trust. It is active trust. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. That's Hebrew parallelism. It's saying what it means to wait on the Lord is to seek him actively. Trust in him, seek after him, pray to him. Waiting requires patience. Waiting requires trust. Waiting requires anticipation. And it's difficult. Waiting can be very difficult. I was reading the commentary too this week, this idea of waiting in the Hebrew, the idea behind this concept, this word in the Hebrew of waiting, is the sense of being stretched tight, like a rope under tension. Stretched, tight. Oh, we've all felt like that. But waiting also means we remind ourselves that God is working even when he seems silent. Last point. Notice the progression here. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice the categories here. Notice the categories here. Some Christians are soaring. Some Christians are running. Some Christians are doing all they can just to barely walk at all. But the promise belongs to all of us. Whichever category there you find yourself in. And it will change. There will be days where the Christian life just feels like you are soaring. Thanks be to God. Days that you feel like you're just on top of the world. That you're just in the right spot. There are going to be seasons when you run with just absolute joy. But there are also going to be days where every spiritual step just feels so painfully slow. And you will feel like that rope that's just being stretched to the last thread. But Isaiah is telling us, even then, God sustains his people. The eagle rises. Not because it creates the wind, but because it rests upon it. So if you're weary, friends, lift up your eyes. Your Savior is majestic and gentle. Your Father is near, even when it's hard to see that. And those who wait upon the Lord will find their strength renewed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the precious promises in Scripture that find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Draw our hearts to him this day, we pray in his holy name. Amen.